All right. The Jim joined us from Boca Raton, Florida.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Hello.
We'll be down at Jim's here in about a month, the end of February, for the on the 20 for a workshop that starts on Thursday, the 27th. And that'll be for the working on the 8 and the 13 move forms, and then the 28th, the 29th, and then March 1st, we'll be doing a workshop there for Tai Chi Level 1 Essential Skills, and it's a certification program. It'll be the test at the end of it, and that kind of thing. So if you're interested in attending that in Boca Raton, Florida in February, nice sunny weather instead of the frigid snow, rain, whatever it is we're getting up north here now, make sure that we know that and or sign up for it. So Jim, the question out to everybody is, what do you think about the Tai Chi fighting workshop, and what was your favorite thing, experience, applied principle, or what did you kind of get out of it? And Jim, as a bunch of you know, is an officer, and he's probably had a chance to use this already, so...
Well, I've been working on it for quite a few years. So, but the you know, the information from the fighting seminar was really you know, it was a mind blowing thing for me. I've been aiming at that kind of fluidity and that type of ability to transition for a long time with a bunch of different arts, and you know, after, I mean, I've been at it for almost 40 years, so I think I learned more in those 5 days than I have throughout a whole, you know, career of studying the arts. Yeah, it was an amazing seminar. But the, you know, as Art had mentioned, you know, that that ability to flow from one situation to another without developing this mental block of, well, I have to do something a particular way, which is traditionally trained in the arts. You know, you want to perform a move that you want to, you know, to accomplish an end. And the biggest thing, you know, was seeing how the body actually reacts easier, how it's less strenuous and less energy consuming to just follow the other person's lead. You know, you see what their body is trying to accomplish, and you work that into your, you know, your movement. So keeps things very fluid, keeps things very natural. And also, I think, you know, in the long run, you probably wind up causing less injury to yourself. And it's important with sparring partners. You don't want to injure them. You don't want to fight the physical restraints of the body. So, a lot of the concepts. I particularly like the how certain movements aren't perceived as threatening. You had mentioned. we had gone over. I don't know what else to call it, but the balloon man. You know, fighting where it's just nice and loose, and you know, you're able to come in from different angles. And when you couple that with the internal energy, it can be, you know, quite surprising how strong and physical a blow you can deliver with a very relaxed movement that's not perceived as a threat.
Part of what he's saying by not perceived as a threat is that you're standing there with your partner and they whack, and it was like, okay, well, did you not see that coming? Oh, I saw it. Why didn't you move? Because it didn't look like it was going to hurt me. Yeah. And it happened about 5 times in a row. It was like, you probably ought to move when he moves to hurt you like that.
Yeah. No, it was, like I said, it was great. And I rely a lot on, I think I mentioned during the seminar, I rely a lot on lower leg strikes or leg sweeps. and the fighting technique, went over, you know, how to use the leg just to disrupt the other person's balance and to redirect their step, so to speak, and how it puts them at such a disadvantage. So I think that was another interesting part. I know I've relied on the redistributing of a strike or a blow, as Art had mentioned. I used to rely a lot on the breathing aspect of it, but by softening the body, the pillow effect, I think is how you explained it. That was also a great aha moment for me. So, but cool. it was extremely, extremely, enlightening. So I hope that you'll be able to repeat the seminar somewhere along the line.
Oh yeah, we will for sure.
Yeah, that was good.
Was there a favorite thing or experience or applied principle? That something that really jumps out at you or something. Now his partner was Don, who's a retired police captain, and he's a hardcore individual who's been studying the martial arts and using them for a very long time as well. He's a smaller man than Jim, but he's a little bit more, he's kind of got that body that you can tell is really honed in for fighting.
great partner, by the way. Thank you very much. It was great teaming up with him. And we did switch around to some of the other partners. I always enjoy sometimes it's hard to gauge where you're at with the internal arts, but by putting the blow up mattresses around the Quan there to be able to practice your physical the physical effects of the Fa Gong and the expansion of energy.
Fa Jing.
That was also great. Although I still can't move Harry. I don't know. He's a beast.
I think I tossed Harry into one of the mats off of a touch, but that's.
Yeah.
There was plenty of tossing going around.
I got him to touch the wall. That was about it. But it was a great aspect of the course, because you can actually judge, you know, how that energy can be transmitted and the effect it has. I think a couple of the guys enjoyed bouncing off the wall.
How was your, when we did the pluck, were you able to get him up off the ground with that? Or did you not? Yeah. You probably didn't get to do that to Harry, but.
No, I didn't work with Harry at that point, but I was able to, you know, to get some air off of some people there. And it was even as we were doing the sparring, just being probably for one of the first times being able to judge an opponent's which way they wanted to go, instead of, you know, using my own interpretation, you know.
Instead of forcing one, yeah.
So it was interesting to see the slightest bit of disruption and balance, or taking advantage of the slightest imbalance, can really affect how a fight is going to go.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Was there something in there that you really didn't know before, or didn't understand, or didn't have before, that you found really helpful, or that really surprised you for what it would do, or for your ability to use it?
Yeah, like I said, that probably the thing that stands out the most was that relaxed striking from up higher to a down lower.
Like the first move in the form, or strum the lute, but being applied in the middle of fighting. Yeah.
Okay. Right, yeah. Yeah, that was and that whole you know, the spherical concept where the body acts as a whole.
Yes.
And, you know, being more relaxed delivers the more power, and just trying to, I guess, loosen or relax
Yeah, you know, the Tai Chi principles applied is what I'm hearing you say, but actually applying them is what the part that was. So it gave you a better. Did it give you a better sense for why Tai Chi's doing a bunch of the stuff that it's doing, and why some of the principles are what they are when you're having people just doing form and that kind of thing? That's kind of what I'm hearing from you, so that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, no, it definitely did, and that I know we always laugh as the you know, the classic instruction, you know, relax more, and there is a reason for those directions.
in the fighting, it became evident. Yeah.
Yes, but
a little bit of incentive.
Yeah. Yeah. But also to, you know, to your credit, you know, when you asked if any of the concepts, you know, were new to me or like, putting them all together was amazing. But I mean, as a compliment to the whole system, I've heard so many of so much of the knowledge already in the other seminars that I've attended. So to see it all come together with the main purpose in mind of fighting or sparring was, you know, gave it all coherency, you know, so it all fit together. So it's good. Thank you.
Man. Oh, yeah. So here's a question. I'll run through the list of you again here. What are you likely to focus on now, or what is the thing that you came away with that, man, I'm going to be doing that now that you have a better understanding of how Tai Chi actually fights? What are you likely to focus on now, kind of going forward, or something that you might be including in your practice normally that maybe you wouldn't have thought about it or put as much emphasis on it before? And we'll start with Matt again.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to make a lot more time for the actual Tai Chi sparring because, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have other people here at the school who went through it and are, you know, and know what it is already. And so that's like ready made for me because we did the workshop here. And so I'm going to take full advantage of that and definitely set aside specific time in my training for the Tai Chi sparring. And then within the sparring, kind of the first thing I'm going to try to work on is really mastering those distances and making sure that I have really full awareness and control over that space and, you know, the distance between me and my attacker and, you know, hopefully doing, maybe some back and forth rundowns as well. You know, really, really trying to get in on each other in different ways. And, you know, running the method through its paces, because I can absolutely see that it would work, but I also can see that I need better understanding of like when to move and where to move and why. And so, you know, I just need that, you know, dirt time, as we called it, in the scouts,
practice. Yeah. Practice.
That practice time. Yeah. And so, yeah, so that's the main thing that I'm going to start focusing on. But, I am really confident that as I start, sparring more, then I will discover more and more, areas that need attention.
Cool. Let's see, Harry.
Well, I'll be focusing even more on spherically centered than I already do.
Not being double weighted.
Exactly. You can't really do that enough or have that quality better. So there's that. I personally want to work on float, and I want to work on that disconnect of the shoulders and in the waist for taking the punches that will help lead me to the higher level of fighting that you have to offer down the line. And now, a word from our sponsor.
Tai Chi fights with internal power. The moves are important, but without internal power, it is just empty choreography. It is even said that with the right internal power skills, you could defend yourself with just one move. On FightingTaiChi.com, I proved the point. I created a course that teaches the must-haves for generating internal power and a bunch of different ways to use that internal power for self-defense. Each of the applications comes right from the very first move in most Tai Chi forms, And although it's all the same move, it does a lot of different things when you put the internal power into it. The secrets of the first move in Tai Chi shows you how to do that. Get it right now at fightingtaichi.com. That's fightingtaichi.com.
Think about it this way. One of the things on that with the shoulders and the hips, what you're calling a disconnect, is that it really isn't so much a disconnect as much as keeping it very soft. And then it becomes, most people, when you first teach it to them, you have to teach it as kind of a disconnect. But what happens, if they keep them connected and not moving, they're not really able to open the shoulder. I've heard it called the shoulder nest, right? They're not able to open that, and they're not really opening and closing. So not able to open and close that very well. And they're not opening and closing the quads or the yao, the back, the area in the back there, very well, because they're too stiff for those things to open and close in a fairly rapid, by rapid, I don't mean like spastic either. I mean, they're just not going to open and close. And in the middle of moving and doing for using Tai Chi, those things have to open and close. And so if you try to keep them where people are keeping it, where it's just, for lack of a better word, not disconnected, not open like that, not floating, if you will, like that. There's other ways to look at this. Then you're not going to be able to open and close those fast enough. And now you're going to be, it's going to put you into a state or a condition that as soon as pressure gets put on you, it's going to go closed and stiff. And then that's not going to work very well. And when you're in the middle of fighting with it, does that make sense? And I'm really, really kind of talking about, because Harry has asked me over off and on about once or twice a year, something about opening and closing, like particularly the quads and the other stuff. Try to keep your hips where you're not what you're calling disconnected. It's not disconnected. And try to open and close the quads and take a look at the difference versus when you open them and now you can move. And that doesn't mean they're out of whack. That's not open either. It's closed the other direction. It's just that you're not holding it. You're not holding any tension in it. You're not holding it stiff. And you really need an internal and an external range of motion in order to open and close. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, thank you for clarifying that further.
Cool. All right. But anyways, those things that you, sorry, I didn't mean to jump in there on that. So working that quality to help with the float and then being able to tie into the other person's float.
Yes.
And how to do that. And I would tell you more about how to do it here, but then we're giving away the store. And if you want to see what that is and using it, you're going to have to take the workshop or buy the videos and go look. And it is a cool concept because it's part of how Tai Chi is using truly light, low effort in terms of physical amount of force to really do a lot of really neat, fast, powerful things. And how to take full advantage of the other person's errors and mistakes, and then once you have them, to make it really hard for them to do a whole lot about it. And so there's some pretty slick stuff with that, so I can see why that's one of your favorite things there.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. Thank all you. Right Art,
what I plan to do is spend even more time going through the posture and paying more attention to various aspects that you brought up. For example, the alignment and opening and closing. And I think I'm gonna do it at least some of the time more slowly than usual, so I can sort of take account of what the status of my body is as far as connection overall and structure and balance and just really all the aspects, or at least a few at a time, not to overload myself with thinking about things, but to become comfortable with all the principles. And I feel that that's going to help me a lot, because now that I know how to use the fighting method and that works with the technique, I know that the technique is very important to have, but only as, I think, or mainly as part of the whole. So at whatever time you need it, it will be there, but you won't know exactly what you're going to need when, for example, and won't need to train technique to have this when you might really need a different technique that you haven't been working on so much, sort of.
So more of the principles.
Right, yes. So, and again, doing that, knowing that I am working towards a good end and feel confident that overall that will help me in a self-defense situation if one arises.
Cool. Jim?
I think one of the things that I realized I want to walk away with a little bit more skill on is a lot of the dropping and the fudging, you know, again, generated from that small drop in body positioning and sinking that root. I think my partner Don had mentioned it as it's like stepping on an orange and getting that expulsion of energy, the way an orange will explode type of visualization. So that
orange just, or a tomato, right?
Yeah, tomato. and that in turn gives you that you need less of a wind up or less of a you don't have to pull back and punch. You can just literally have your hand on somebody or your foot on them and generate a lot of power. It's almost a surprising result. So I'm going to work a little bit more on that. I'm going to work a little bit more on transitioning without being double weighted, being able to walk. I think one of my things that I've been fighting for a number of years is I tend to be a little bit too linear, and I wanted to develop more of a fluid game, being able to, strike from any angle, or not even strike, even capture or redirect from any angle.
Yeah.
So I think that's very important. And even the redirections, being able to express that fudging and in a redirection, you really get ahead of the other person's movement. And it's a little bit disconcerting. I found it disconcerting, the chances I got to spar with you a little bit and Harry, and how when all of a sudden your intent is to come straight in, and when you redirected that little bit and you're overcommitted and there's that little bit of extra attraction or drawing or getting out in front of your punch, and all of a sudden it's like really throws you off. So
the ones that come to mind was somebody, and I don't remember if you were one of the ones that did this or not, they're bringing the punch, you get like a pluck type action to it, and then their arm moves over there and now their head is in your hands.
Yes.
And you didn't move anywhere. It was like I was punching him and now he's got my head and I'm turned. Yeah.
Yes. And that was the last part of it, that stepping into or over or through the other person that you get with that slight misdirection. So, yes, thank you.
Thank you, sir. I might have another.
Yeah. Working on those things.
Yep. Cool. All right. And is there anything else any of you want to say about any other aspect of this? And if so, now's probably the time. And
I just wanted to say, one brief thing. Like I said, I started in this when I was in my teens, and it's gotten to the point now where I'm playing catch up to get some of this. So Denise and I just had our first grandson a couple of weeks ago.
Awesome. Congratulations.
My first thought on the way back on the plane was, Man, I got to get that little guy started in this before so he doesn't waste all that time I wasted. But
like I've done with Carly.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, she'll be looking at the other. She's seen or looks at the other stuff, and she's like, "That's not right." And she can usually tell you why.
That's excellent. Yeah, that's excellent. So send the little guy off to martial arts college before he's in pre-K.
they already have a bunch of it. This is the fun part about that. It's just a matter of working with them a little bit so that they get to keep it.
Yes. Yeah, they're much more fluid than we are as adults. So.
And softer.
Yes. Yeah.
Softer. And they're smart enough to get there because of the size and stuff. They're smart enough when it's a certain thing that they'll get out of the way. They won't stand there and try to force the situation. Or when they do, it's usually because they've got a better position than you.
There you go. So, excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, guys. Anybody else?
Well, I was impressed with how relaxation actually works in a lot of situations. When one thinks of Tai Chi or practices it, relaxation is certainly just a part of it. But some people have the sense that, well, because you're relaxed and soft, it's not powerful. And I just learned so much about how relaxation actually works in the sense of escaping holds or arm locks or something, or in defense with the arms relaxed and blocking, or the wavy arm motion and striking at the end, how extremely powerful that is, even with or especially with an open hand as opposed to a fist that one might, without this knowledge, think would be the most powerful striking force, but learn that it actually isn't. So that's, again, a very valuable facet of the workshop that I am working on more, just trying to relax more and more, and with the understanding of exactly what the value is behind it, not just, relax, feel more relaxed, but relax so you can, escape from arm locks, or relax if you have to defend yourself and block your body is that much more powerful in defense, or the strikes are that much more powerful. So I just feel more empowered with this new knowledge.
Excellent.
Thank you.
All right, guys, I think we're going to wrap it up for today. Had a great time with you. Folks at home, if you've got any, you're watching this, that weren't on the call, when we posted this up on the social media, please put your comments down below, and we'll happily me and the other guys here will interact with you there. And if there's other things you'd like to know about or have us talk about, please put that, and we will try to we'll be doing that. So Art, Harry, Jim, and Matt, thank you, and more next time.
Thank you, Sifu.
Thank you, Sifu. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Good seeing you again.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
The martial art of Tai Chi is about softness defeating hardness. So how can Tai Chi have an iron palm? Iron palm is just a fancy kung fu name for a powerful hand that can do a lot of damage without getting injured. Tai Chi gets that with a method called internal iron palm. With the internal method, your opponent feels like you have a brick in your hand, even though it feels relaxed and easy to you. Internal iron palm only uses your own body and your own mind. You do not need a training partner or any extra equipment. Once you know the internal iron palm method, you can do it whenever you have time in as little as 5 minutes a day. My name is Richard Clear, and internal power is what I do. I created a unique online course to give you internal iron palm almost on autopilot. The program is so successful, I put a money back guarantee on it. Find out more at internalironpalm.com. That's internalironpalm.com. Thank you.